Welcome to today's Wrench Gap Village. Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. Education dietitian at Pella Regional Health Center, Kathy Pollock, joins us on today's program to talk about National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month. In terms of how prevalent it is, though, in the United States, there's always a lot of numbers that go thrown around, but based on what you know and your knowledge of what is a growing problem in our country, how many children are affected by this, and how fast has it been growing over the years?
Yeah, it has been growing so fast. Just to throw out some facts here, back in 1980, about 7% of kids were overweight and obese, and in 2012, it increased to 18%. So about one-third of children are overweight or obese, and that figures to be about 12.5 million children.
And that's a lot, and certainly a lot of ways you can go about managing it, but there are a lot of issues that have kind of grown from these children as they even become younger adults, and things that you would typically associate with folks who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s are starting to creep into kids even at that age. What are some of the main risks that these kids have if they are overweight or obese?
We are seeing kids having much more health problems that you would see people in their 30s, 40s, or 50s, you know, having these. Kids come in with higher blood pressures, higher blood sugars, end up having type 2 diabetes, which has usually been something that you would get in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or more. Heart problems. Kids aren't sleeping as well at night, and that can be affected by being overweight, too.
And a lot of parents are probably asking the question, if they have a child who might be overweight, is how did it get to this point? What are some of the things that have changed since 1980 to now that you've seen through your years here to see where this has become an increased problem?
It comes back to the parents and how we eat at home. I know a lot of the schools are trying to change what they provide for their lunches, but then parents have to kind of look at what they are providing at home too. In the 80s, I think more moms stayed home, weren't as working as much. Maybe families weren't as busy. It seems now we just kind of run everywhere and kind of the meals kind of get thrown back. We go through the fast food drive-thrus way too much. There's not a lot of home-cooked meals where the family sits down at the table.
And then when you look through making plans and for families who come in that have this question of, okay, how do I manage this? How do I do this? When you're looking in, what are some of the first things you're telling them? Because for some people, it's very habitual. This is how they grew up eating, or this is the way that their grandparents, this is the same kind of food, and they too maybe grew up in a similar situation and are dealing with the health problems now as adults.
The first thing that I would do is sit down and just have them look at how much we should be eating. The amount of food that we eat as adults, as children, if we go out to eat, then that carries it back over to home. So just looking, okay, how much should we be eating? Should it be a cup? Well, it should be closer to a half of a cup of whatever it might be. And then the next thing that I would do is to pull out the My Plate, which is the different food groups. And to take a look, okay, are you providing a fruit and a vegetable and a protein and a grain and a dairy at the meal times?
So in your office and the things that you do, what are some of the services you provide? Do you provide meal planning or do you provide nutrition advice, you know, in terms of this is the kind of meals you should? Because there's some people who might have allergies and some people, there's a lot of different factors that can contribute.
In my office, I see patients from babies to old and we sit down and I ask them questions, kind of find out what their life is like, what their schedule is like, and then I work around that. So if they need to work more on the portion sizes, we will do that. If they need to work more on the planning, we'll do that, you know, kind of thinking through, okay, how do I make a list to go to the store? How do I look at my week ahead and plan my meals? And if I know it's a busy, crazy week, how can I have food at home that's quick and easy to make before we go and run?
Well, and the other thing that I would note is that, you know, for adults like myself, I can use an app to track my calories. For parents, it could be a challenge because they've got picky eaters. And those kids, especially if they're younger than 13, 14, don't have a smartphone, can't track it. So one bit of advice, if you had one, how do parents help manage and track the calories that the kids are taking in or the nutrition, the different levels of protein and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the parents themselves can use an app kind of for the family and kind of think through, okay, do we have all the food groups covered for that meal? And then just getting kids more involved at home, having kids learn to cook, how to pick out healthy things at the store and at home. If it's time for a snack, give them a couple options for the kids to choose from. If you have healthier foods at home, teach the kids then what to choose.
That concludes today's Wrenchgap Village Let's Talk Pella, Pella's best value in retirement living. More of today's news is next on KNIA KRLS.